You're listening to People of Interest on CKUW 95.9 FM. It is 8:29 on January 24th. I'm joined by Glenn Michaelchuk from Peace Alliance Winnipeg. Good morning. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So I guess we're having you on because I guess, you're having a house concert coming up as a fundraiser. So why don't we talk about that?
A couple of years ago we decided, of course, Peace Alliance Winnipeg is as an organization, I mean, we have always the problem of how do we fund the many and diverse activities we'd like to do in the city. So since we have no regular source of income, a couple of years ago we decided that we would have, as a fundraiser, a house concert, because those are quite popular for people to come and listen to some music and contribute to a good cause. So this year, we're having our house concert this Saturday, January 28th. The artist is Derek McCandless. And what people find is it's just a wonderful evening to have some music, some entertainment, some social gathering amongst... It's a very diverse crowd that comes. And as a well contribute to the cause of the Peace Alliance. Tickets are $25, and they can contact the Peace Alliance Winnipeg or just give us a call at 586-6057 for a ticket. There's still some available.
And so one of the many activities this money goes to could be the Peace Festival that you have every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so how's that coming along?
Well, actually, this is going to be the second year for the Peace Festival. What we've had every year for 30-plus years now is the Walk for Peace. So that's somewhat of a tradition in Winnipeg that people are very keen to support and use as an occasion in midsummer to discuss issues of questions of peace. But last year we decided that aside from the peace from the Walk for Peace, it would be nice to have a somewhat broader activity, and we called it the Peace Festival, in which we would invite other groups and organizations to come and build more than just a Walk for Peace, but an event, at least for the balance of the day. The Walk for Peace usually takes place on a Saturday in June. But that's kind of a very defined activity. But around that, have this much broader festival in which organizations and groups could come and hold whatever they thought was significant, to hold workshops on issues, to bring in speakers, to have also just the social side of it, where you'd have entertainment in the midst of all this. So this is going to be the second year for the Peace Festival. We've put out a call to organizations to come and help participate in the planning of it. You know, what the Peace Festival should look like, what its goals should be, what issues it should discuss. So, again, they can contact the Peace Alliance Winnipeg either through our website at www.peacealliancewinnipeg.ca, all one word, or they can contact the Project Peacemakers office at 775-8178, because Project Peacemakers is sort of partnered with us on this to help build the festival, to help bring together the organizations that would be interested to do something. So we're going to be having, as organizations come forward and say they're interested, to have some planning meetings to discuss exactly what the Peace Festival will look like.
So what are some of those issues that might be on the table this year?
Well, yes, the reason for a Peace Festival and a Walk for Peace is because the issues of peace have really become big issues in terms of world events. I mean, first of all, we had the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan that have really occupied, the wars in Iraq began in the 1990s and, of course, continued on through this 2003 and on, and the war in Afghanistan. Now we have also the war, what Canada was involved in, which is the bombing of Libya as part of what started out supposedly as a UN mission, quickly became an almost purely NATO mission to effect a regime change in Libya. So you have what's happened in Libya. You have the very serious danger of a war with Iran, as the United States ramps up its pressure on Iran, joined by countries like Canada. in that, and the European Union. And of course, the war in Afghanistan is far from over, even though the majority of Canadian soldiers have pulled out of Afghanistan. That war is far from over. So we say it's very important that, at least for Canada, I mean, clearly Canada has adopted a position, especially since George Bush announced his war on terror. But even before that, you can see that Canada has very clearly adopted a position in its foreign policy that it's going to use military force to intervene in various conflicts in the world, or where there's no conflicts, to engage in conflicts to affect various things, such as regime change. That was certainly the case in Afghanistan. Iraq, Canada, despite being largely on the sidelines in the war on Iraq, still contributed to that war in various ways, contributed material aid to that war. Very important questions of what kind of foreign policy Canada is going to have in the world, then what kind of domestic policy Canada has, because of course war spending affects your domestic policy. And the billions that are being directed into war spending, either purchase of new fighters and that, obviously detracts from the question of social programs in this country, the question even of jobs, because it's a very false link to say that the military production, such as this announcement about building of new warships for Canada, is linked to any kind of permanent development of your economy, security for workers and jobs, or even all-around economic development.
Right, and so Canada, we can no longer fairly say that we have a peacekeeping mission abroad in many places, if anywhere. And then locally, Rabble.ca has a podcast called Progressive Voices, which you actually point on the website PeaceAllianceWinnipeg.ca. And then we have a new hockey team, or not a new, an old hockey team locally, which has a sort of a military feel.
Definitely. In fact, part of the a lot of this information you talk about is actually covered in various ways on our website through various contributors. Or they're not necessarily contributors just to our website, but articles we repost on our website. The question of the militaristic bent to sports is dealt with there, and especially the Jets. I mean, part of their deal with the military was that they would promote the military in a positive light.
Yeah.
So regardless of what the military may be doing, such as the war in Afghanistan, which really was very highly criticized by Canadians. The majority of Canadians, through most of that war, did not support it because of its aims and objectives. So part of this deal that the Jets have with the military is to promote the military in a positive light. So there is problems like the increasing militarization of Canadian culture, where that more and more seeps into the everyday fabric of life, such as what happened when they had that demonstration on Parliament Hill by the government to honor the end of the military mission in Libya.
Mm-hmm. So is this trend kind of dangerous? I mean, what's something that we should be hoping for when it comes to Peace Alliance Winnipeg?
Well, that's what we see as part of our work, is to alert people to that. And in fact, on February 18th, we're going to actually have, as part of, it's a little separate from our AGM, but at the Millennium Library, in conjunction with Project Peacemakers, a whole discussion on this question of the myth of Canada as a peacemaker and as a positive force in the world. That'll be taking place at the Millennium Library. We're going to have the screening of a video that's been produced on that. And a panel discussion. So all that information is available on our website, and we encourage people to go to it. But it is important for people, wherever they are, to develop a stand against this militarization of culture, whether it takes place on the universities, and that's always been an issue, or whether it just takes place in these general features that we see with examples like pro sports and the Jets. And people did, and to their credit, a lot of people stood up and took positions on that.
So now, war with Iran is now commonly acknowledged in the United States on the news. And it sounds like war with Iraq all over again. Now, how is Canada involved in that scenario?
Well, Canada has been in lockstep with the United States and the European Union. So whenever the United States raises the question of Iran's pursuit of nuclear energy, and Canada is very quick to say to immediately parrot the U.S. line. Harper just within the last week talked again about the extreme dangers posed by Iran to peace in the Middle East and so on, and linking its pursuit of nuclear technology with the development of nuclear weapons, which is a bit disingenuous considering that all the powers, many of the powers that are criticizing Iran for having a nuclear energy program are themselves holders of nuclear weapons. So to say, I mean, a country has the right to pursue its own interests in science and so on. If powers such as Britain, the United States, France, China, Russia are actually interested in nuclear disarmament, then they should also take that path of nuclear disarmament.
Of course. Now, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking to Glenn Michaelchuk, who's part of Peace Alliance Winnipeg. If you're interested in Peace Alliance Winnipeg, go to peacealliancewinnipeg.ca. Now, to continue the conversation along, the UN has even imposed an oil embargo against Iran and froze assets there for their central bank. Now, all this pressure to Iran is to talk about that nuclear program. So how can these sanctions actually negatively impact the situation and those living in Iran who are peaceful?
Well, I mean, Iraq also suffered from sanctions, and they were enormously devastating for the people in Iraq. At least estimates of what happened in Iraq, I mean, where there was embargoes not only of key materials such as on its oil exports, but on medicines and basic necessities of life. There are estimates as high that it cost 500,000 lives in Iraq. Within Iran, the question of sanctions, I mean, all the speculation is that Iran is going to look elsewhere in terms of its markets for its main export, which is oil. But it doesn't insist, the question of sanctions on Iran doesn't assist in developing a real dialogue with that country and its government on the questions of peace in the Middle East and so on. So the element of sanctions it's ramping up this hysteria about Iran, and part of it is going to be used to, if there is an outbreak of war, to justify that outbreak of war. So part of it is this real hysteria about Iran and what it's doing, and the question of sanctions is to ramp that up to suggest that that this is some critical situation, much like they did with Iraq. It's an exact replay of the situation that led to the war with Iraq in 2003, when all kinds of allegations were made about weapons of mass destructions and so on, and this had to be immediately dealt with, and there was no alternative but to go to war. So people have to be aware that this discussion is very charged, and the real issues aren't being discussed there.
Right. And so, in turn, Iran's response could be to close the Strait of Hormuz, and which puts huge pressure on the world's energy sector, the resources in energy, or rather putting burdens on us as people in what we're used to, and so as gas prices could skyrocket. And then the UN, are they so thick-headed to think that Iran would make any concession on their policy?
Well, I guess that's part of the problem with the UN, that there's a real, you can tell that within the UN, many of these decisions emanate from the Security Council. And, of course, the Security Council is made up of a handful, really, of the world's powers. And so when you talk about decisions made by the UN, it's often a reflection of the disagreements the big powers are having on the questions of Iran or Libya or now Syria. So often these decisions are a reflection of the power struggles going on between whether it be Russia and China against the European Union and the United States, or some other division between them. So for you're quite right to say that Iran has said that if it finds sanctions to be intolerable, it's going to take countermeasures to block the Straits of Hormuz, which again is all very dangerous situation in terms of the possibilities of what this would mean in terms of a very wide regional war, and a war that Canada at this point seems very prepared to join in.
So, all that being said, if listeners wish to further discuss these issues, of course they could give you guys a call and visit your website. Again, what are those?
The website is peacealliancewinnipeg, all one word, .ca, and the phone number, and it's an answering machine through the telephone, so it takes maybe sometimes a day or two to get back to people. The phone number is 586-6057, but I would encourage them that if they can, they should check out the website. There's lots of discussion there. There's forums there which people can leave their opinions on articles that they see, and of course all our contact information is there. I would also encourage people to join the Peace Alliance and to come and help us in our work. I mean, it's lots of things to do. We need the energy of Winnipeggers to help us in this. We have our AGM, our annual general meeting, coming up on February 18th. We have, as part of that, this video that we're showing and panel discussion at the Millennium Library. So there's a lot of interesting things happening. And we'd encourage people to be part of that if they can and if they wish.
All right. Well, you heard him. So get involved. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity to come in.
All right, everybody. So this is Jordan Poitras and Glenn Michael Chuck. So when we return, we will hear from Liz Williams. So stay tuned.